reward, mistos, mistos, in the Greek tongue. I think it's a word that we all need to really go to the very prime, and though there are about four or five words that come from this one word, mistos, it is the prime. And it means to your wages, right? A lot of people think, yes, I've got a reward coming. Well, what have you done? You know, you didn't in the old days go down to the sheriff's office and say, oh, I'm going to collect that one. Here, I'm bringing this poster. I want my reward. There's just one problem. You got to catch the sucker first, okay, before you get the reward. And so it is with serving the Father. When you read reward, don't let some person tell you, just because you're you, you've got a reward coming. That won't fly. Try going down to Walmart next week, you that don't work there, and say, where's my check? They'll probably call the county. And then Little Rock. So, do you think our Father is short of reasoning? That He would be any of the otherwise? Well, it was saying that some people teach He is. Salvation is free to the Christian. It cost Christ an awesome price. He paid for it. Then, your rewards, it's exactly what mistos means, meaning to pay for a service. No service rendered, sorry, no reward. It has another side to it that we want to look at. Reward can also be very bad. Rewards, you get them for good and bad. It's called, in family style, the woodshed. Little trip to the woodshed is my reward, the little fellow said. All right? Well, I'm afraid that all of us are familiar with that path. I'm afraid that we, regardless of what our age is, never forget that we've got to get our gourd thumped occasionally by our Father. Why? Because He loves you. But please remember, for service rendered, that's what your rewards are going to be collected for. And that can consist of many, many things. It can be just letting Christ shine forth from you. Just when a person is really down, you cannot imagine how far that can go to raising someone up. Just to give them a smile and let them know that the Father loves them. That He is a God of love. Oh, yes. You know, have you ever known a parent that really loved their children that didn't discipline as well? I don't think you have. You may have known a parent that really loved their children and spoiled the living heck out of them. Okay? But who's going to pay for it? The child, of course, later in life when it finds out that the world operates different than they had thought. So, discipline from our Father is love. And sometimes He practices tough love. So, again, mistos means reward for service, good or bad. That gives you the whole thought. Reward for service, good or bad. And with that thought, let's open our Bibles, if we may, to the great book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the great faith chapter. Our Father makes many gifts available to us other than salvation. He makes available His truth if you will only sort it out. It's for your benefit. It is for your edification. To rightly divide the word, that is to say, read it with understanding. And those beautiful truths can save you many a trip to the woodshed if you absorb His wisdom and apply that to your own life with your service. Okay? chapter 11, the great book of Hebrews, verse 1, and it reads, "Now faith is the substance," that's to say the title deed, the confidence, it's kind of a legal term in other words, okay, "of things hoped for." I mean, you've got to have faith or you don't have the deed. You can't claim it. "The evidence," that's to say the proof, "of things not seen." In other words, have you seen your heavenly home? No, you haven't yet. You know why? We're not in heaven yet. Where is heaven? Wherever God is. Right? But as long as you're in the flesh body, you're not going to see much more than a shadow. But you know it. It's real. You have the faith to know it exists. You know that God, your Father, is not stringing you along. I mean, you know it as well as you could just almost reach out and touch it. It's there. The same as your spiritual body dwells within this flesh body. You know it. You have the proof and the title deed to it by the testament, which is a will from our Father. It's guaranteed. Verse 2. "For by it the elders obtained a good report." They made it known. They taught it. They taught that evidence. They told of many of them of even walking with Him and the Father down through the ages. "Whereby you know your Father is very real." Verse 3. "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Now there's one thing I want you to make a mental note in your mind or your margin. The word "worlds" here in the Greek is A-I-O-N. Do you know what that word means in the Greek? It means about the same thing that our English word "eon" comes from. It's ages, not terra firma, not erect, not Arkansas, not Europe. By the Word of God, the ages were set in bounds. That's the first earth age, the first heaven age. The second earth age, eon, if you wish to call it that. And finally, the third being the final. And you have faith to know that. You don't have to have many proofs to know that there was, as the good word stipulates, that there was an earth age before this one. If you've got your eyes open, if you have the faith to know God is true, and that His Word is true, and that you do your homework, you have the faith to know that those eons of time mean nothing to God except our progression to salvation. That is to say, to totally overcome and collect rewards for service given. Verse 5 then, as we read. I'm sorry, 4. "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous." I mean, you can't con God, okay? God testifying of His gifts, and by it he, that is to say Abel, being dead, yet speaketh. In other words, we learn from his experience. We know that he was the first brother in this earth, this eon, that was murdered by his brother. And we know that his righteousness, no doubt, was at the root of his being murdered. And it gives us a choice. Which do you want to follow? There's a lesson in that. That's the way you learn. That's the way you mature in our Father's Word. You have faith to know which to choose, in what manner to serve your Father. Naturally, who are you going to choose to follow? Abel, of course, because you don't want to be a murderer. Then 5, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him for before. Why did God do it? For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Do you know what testimony we're talking about? The Word of God. His testimony, he was a preacher. The book of Jude declares that. That Enoch was a preacher, and he began preaching to the daughters and the sons of Adam that they were to refrain from intermixing with the Nephilim, which is to say the fallen angels, as is well recorded in Genesis chapter 6. He did such a good job of it that Father, as he did Elijah, just took him. Verse 6. But without faith, listen very carefully, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Him who? Our Father. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. There's the title. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Everybody's going to get a reward. Did you know that? I mean, everybody. And some people are not going to like theirs too well, because their reward's going to be the lake of fire. But there are others that have some fantastic rewards. When you are in the body of Christ, you share equally in the service. And the rewards come equally. God doesn't play favorites. You have chosen to have faith to believe upon him. Do you realize that there are some people that are on and off again Christians or believers? Now, I hear from some of them occasionally. In other words, they will believe one day, but then something will happen, and maybe they get sidetracked by the world or their hobbies or their pet thing, and then something goes wrong, and I doubt if God exists. You know, it flashes in their mind. That's dangerous. You see, you either believe or you don't. There's no such thing as a halfway believer. You show me somebody that halfway believes, and I'll show you a non-believer. Because once you see, you cannot help but believe. For he touches you, and he changes your life. And then you know that you know. You have had that experience, the touch of the Master's hand. That's what faith is about, and nothing is impossible with God. But trust me, it's impossible to please God without faith. Let's say believing that he is. I'm going to tell you something. It irritates him for someone to doubt him. It ticks him off. And don't you think he doesn't have emotions of wrath and anger? I mean, if you were the parent of your children and you had put it all out on the line, even died for them, made it so easy for them that all they have to do is read the instructions 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, plus all the ones that go with that and try to follow them. I'm talking about the Ten Commandments as a base. Well, I wonder if that one, thou shalt not steal, still exists. Well, I wouldn't try to find out if I were you, because you'd be thrown in jail. It's still, you know, if you follow his instructions and his advice, you can't go wrong. So why, when somebody, little old human being, is like a grasshopper to our Father, he says, I think I'm wise. I think I'm hip, and I think I know what the world's all about, and I believe I could make my own without any help from anybody. When you hear or see someone take that attitude, get away from them. the boom is about to fall. You know, their life is going to be miserable very soon. You watch it, you mark it. I have witnessed it happening time after time after time. Reward, mythos, service given. Reward for service given. Father loves to reward his children. But it's a wage. I mean, that's part of the meaning of the word. And God goes on a pay-as-you-go basis, all right? And sometimes it's written, one place I know of it's written that many righteous acts can kind of cover a little bit of sin. All right? In other words, the Father will forgive you a little easier if you're... Because we're not perfect, true. But serve Him, love Him, don't ever doubt Him. Don't ever doubt Him. Well, how do I strengthen my faith? There's only one way, and that's to get in His Word and stay there until you get your head screwed on right. Dig in that Word. The more you study that Word and take it into yourself, the stronger your faith will be, because you will see those miracles that have been performed throughout all the generations, documenting, proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that our Father is true, that He is real, and that He loves His children. And you will become a much stronger person, because in absorbing His Word, seeking the ring, the golden ring, the prize, the reward, seeking it drives you deeper into His Word, and wisdom piles upon you, and you learn how to take advantage even of people of the world, its operation, that is, and becoming quite wealthy if you choose. If you want to make that one of your traits and blessings, you know, it's there. It's right before you. The way to do it is written in that Word before you, how to beat the world. Your Father gives that to the wise, I suppose, because He only gives us what we can take care of. And that's it. Period. Very simple. Now, let's take another example. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll begin there with verse 1. How do we serve God whereby we have rewards? Do we do it high-key, low-key? Do we get on ego trips? Or do we know that it is the Word that is powerful, it is the Word that is wise, and we all serve? Because if you want a reward, if your little ego ever grabs at you, gnaws at you, then remember this. Rewards come from service given. So you better serve the way He wishes you to. Let's take this example. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed, let's be real careful, that you do not your alms, that's to say your righteousness, whatever it may be, before men, to be seen of them. Now think that through. Naturally, if you're going to do your righteousness, you've basically got to do it around men. But if you do it simply for the purpose of men seeing you do it, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. And he's the one it counts by. In other words, you have some guy gets out of bed and he's got an extra quarter in his pocket, you know, and he's walking to work and, look, there's one of the little people, I'm going to slip this little with a quarter. Have a good day. Boy, won't people think I'm nice giving that little one a quarter, huh? That sort of thing, okay? Don't try to impress people. It doesn't amount to anything. You do it not for that purpose. As I stated, if you're going to help people, naturally you've got to be around people. But don't do it for that reason. Verse 2. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, your righteousness, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. That's all they're going to get. You know, many people make a... I already regret that this popped into my mind, but I'll say it anyway. Most of our anointing for the sick takes place behind closed doors, because we have many miracles that happen from our Father, but that's not what this ministry is about. So we do it secretly, basically in the closet. It's not 100%, not if it's not convenient, because that's not the reason we anoint and ask the healing from our Father, for He's the one that does it. But some people, it seems that's all they've got, is to try to show off that God will heal through their ministry. They do it to be seen, to advertise it, to draw more people into it. My question would be to you, what is their reward? I don't know. I'm glad God is the judge and the rewarder. 3. But when thou dost alms your righteousness, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Let the Spirit guide you. Right? That's all it means. Let the Spirit guide you. 4. That thine alms your righteousness may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, he can read your mind even, himself shall reward thee openly. You'll be blessed. That's the way our Father operates. One more verse, 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Let that lock into your mind. Seen of men. That's the reason they do it. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. That's all they're going to get out of it. When God judges and it comes time to pass out rewards, zippo, nada, nothing. So, and again, the reason being, the only reason they did it was to be seen of men, that I want you to know that I am your conduit to God. Well, an individual doesn't need a conduit to God. He knows what you're thinking, and all you have to do is talk to him. Let him know that you love him. And get ready to collect your reward, because rewards come all through life. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to get all of them. Skip with me to verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. In other words, excuse me, have you ever seen a person, there's a terrible load that I carry for the Lord. It's a terrible weight to serve Him, but I don't mind doing it. I want you to know that, but it's a terrible weight. And I'm your good brother that's doing it for you, little people. Now, hey, that's dangerous stuff. But that's the way it is. They can screw up their faces and twitch it, have all kinds of spiritual experiences for you, for your benefit. And you probably could have got along without it. You know. Am I judging? No. Dear, that's what the Word says. That's what the Word says. I want you to have your rewards, and as a teacher, It is my bound duty to God to teach the Word the way it's written. That's what he says. Do you know what he says otherwise in that 17th verse? You anoint yourself and keep your face washed fresh, where nobody could even tell by looking at you that you were cleansing your body. And God will see and know and bless you. Alright? So, this gives us a little bit of an idea of how we please God and some of the things you surely don't want to do if you expect a reward for it. Now turn with me to the 16th chapter of Matthew here. Chapter of Matthew, let's go to verse 24. Christ has just dressed down Peter because Peter drew his sword and said, I'm not going to let him take you, and so forth. And Christ, of course, said, get behind me, Satan. He wasn't going with the program, in other words. This happens immediately following that. Verse 24 of chapter 16, the same great book of Matthew. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, Christ was not looking for volunteers for crucifixion, but that's what you took a cross up for, was to be crucified on. What he's saying, if you're going to follow me, have the dedication and the discipline that it comes first in your life, okay? That I'm first. You love everything else less than you love me because I took that cross and was nailed to it for you. Again, I want to reiterate, he wasn't looking for volunteers for crucifixion. That he wanted you to have that same conviction, if possible, that he had when he took his up. That's called dedication. That's called able to operate under hardship. You know, that's the kind of men even you want to go in combat with. That's why you want to weed out those wimps first before you ever go and get in trouble. You want to get rid of the wimps. I mean, make it hard, make it so hard on them that they're going to crack, that they're going to do it where they don't get somebody else killed. So, Christ is kind of saying, I want you to take this very serious, as though you were picking up your cross to go die on it like I did for you. Verse 25. For whosoever will save his life, kind of think of that as soul, shall save his soul, shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life or his soul for my sake shall find it. In other words, you've got two ways to go. Let's just really simplify this. You've got two ways to go. You've got the ways of the world, and hey, you can make it here. You know? It doesn't take one too long to watch the crooks and see what they're doing, and how they misuse people, and how usury is misused. And it doesn't take you long, too long, till you can say, hey, I can, you know, throw away my conscience and my morals, and I can do pretty good here. But you lose it there. You sold your soul out for things of this world. So you got a choice. You can follow this world of the prince of the air, this age, or you can pick up your cross and stick it out, thick or thin, until Christ returns, doing what the Holy Spirit would lead you to do through His Word, not what some man would tell you, but through His Word. Your soul is precious. It's the only thing you've got. It's yourself. It's the only thing about you that's eternal. When you go back home, you look at that house, you're not going to have it. It's not really yours. God's just loaning it to you for a while. It's not eternal, in other words. It'll rot down after many, many, many years. Now, don't go set it on fire or something like that. Enjoy it, but what I'm saying is it's going to crumble, and you've got your soul won't. It's the most valuable thing you've got. It's precious. It's like your name. Take care of it. Verse 26. And what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Question. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know what? Excuse me. If you were given the whole world, this eon, I'd say you better really live it up and enjoy it, because you probably don't have but 4 or 5 years to go at the most. And then it's all over for you. Then you're going to make a great trip to the lake of fire. Or you can pick up your cross, and your reward is that heavenly home, being with your brothers and sisters and your heavenly Father. That reward is eternal. Your soul, don't you ever even toy with that question. Your soul doesn't have a price on it. It's priceless. And some might say, well, I think I'm going to get around to giving my soul to God. Well, you're too late. Because in Ezekiel, let me take a stab at this, Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 4 lets you know God already owns it. Too late to give it to Him. You belong to Him. Like it, lump it, good, bad, or whatever. Don't ever try to please your Father, but I'm going to get around someday to give my soul to God. Sorry. He already owns it. The thing you might state is, someday I'm going to submit totally to Him. I'm going to pick up my cross and submit totally to Him. But He already owns your soul, and you're bought and paid for, okay? He can do with that soul whatever He chooses, because you're all His. I hope He's happy with you. And I hope when we open that ledger up and there's your name, that you've got, award after award. The Purple Heart and the bronze medal, the silver cross. I'm speaking Christian-like now, okay? But you've got all the awards and rewards that a person could ever want. For your service, payment is due. But payment, in a sense, comes now also. Don't ever forget that. I don't know, have you claimed yours? Are you getting your check? If you don't claim it, well, I'm sure a company would like to have you working for them if you never went by and picked your check up. Whoa, what a guy to have working for you. Now, it may bother some that I put that type of meaning to rewards from God. But bless your hearts, that's what misthos means, wages. It's put that way so you don't have any trouble misunderstanding it. Check it out in the Greek for yourself, okay? Check it out for yourself if it bothers you. Verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels. It's going to happen. And then He shall reward, mythos, every man, according to his faith. No, wait, it doesn't say that, does it? No, it doesn't say that at all. Reward every man according to his works. Payday. Reward for service rendered. You want to remember those little things. Now's the time of rendering, all right? It may be planning. I'm not trying to sell someone on becoming a religious fanatic here, okay? And trying to go full-time into passing leaflets out downtown Gravette. I mean, it wouldn't take you long to give everybody in town one, but be that as it may, you'd get the word around in a hurry. But that won't work. That's not the way God operates. But when someone at work comes to you with an aching heart, or a friend, so I just wondered what God thinks about this, or I lost my brother, I wondered where he is. You tell them. That service rendered, it's valuable. It's priceless for a Christian to be able to share part of the good news. Alright? That's your works. Boy, that just goes up, and it doesn't take a whole long list. Just one or two of those will go a long way for rewards. Service rendered. 28. Verily I say unto you, there be some, now I want you to really think deep on this for me, okay? Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His, what? It's important, His kingdom. Some of you are still waiting, it would seem, for the end before you realize the kingdom has already happened. Be glad when the kingdom comes so I can get my rewards. Well, your checks are stacking up. You're not claiming them. Because the kingdom happened when He defeated death. What He was saying, there are some of you standing here that are going to see Me crucified, resurrected from the grave, and returning in glory, having defeated death, and I will be the King of all My dominion. Come into it. Are you in His dominion? Are you in Satan's? It's according to which part spiritually of the world you walk in. So, naturally, being a student of the Word, you're in Christ's kingdom. You've seen it. We know that when the whole thing, His beautiful, wonderful kingdom, comes to fruition, and all children that are yet to be born, or have they already been born? No doubt some yet that must have, all souls must come through this flesh and have the opportunity to obtain salvation, to pick up their cross. Unless it be those that the end might come and they're not yet at the age of accountability, be that as it may. God is always fair, and God has all the answers to whereby all are treated fairly. Every soul treated fairly.
Due to contractual television time commitments, we are unable to bring you Pastor Murray's November Sunday messages in entirety. If you wish to order an audio tape or VHS tape with these complete messages, you may order our audio tape item numbers 987 Concord or 988 Rewards of Righteousness. The suggested donation for audio tapes is $4 each. You may order both messages, Concord and Rewards of Righteousness, on VHS tape, which is our item 60.39. The suggested donation for videotapes, $25 each. And now, back to Pastor Arnold Murray.
With an overthrow, making them an ensample, making them a what? That's an old Anglo-Saxon word that means example, unto those that after should live ungodly. Did you understand that? He said, the reason Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, and the reason the Katabo of the first earth age destroyed, is because of ungodliness. What he's saying, if you don't think I will do it again, you're mistaken. You're kidding yourself. Judgment is coming. Okay? And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. 8. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. He was uncomfortable there. And you can be uncomfortable in this lifetime in certain neighborhoods. But this documents that God doesn't consider you a part of it just because you're in that neighborhood. Okay? Mark that in your mind. Some people, Should I separate myself? Well, he may have you there for another purpose. He may have you there to plant a seed sometime. So you got to be real careful on that. In other words, God loved Lot and respected him, even though he was right downtown Sodom and Gomorrah. And 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. That means troubles. And to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. He knows how to do that. That's why you can still be here on earth when God's judgment, tribulation takes place, and never get singed. Why? Because you're not evil. 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise government, that's to say God's alignment and everything he causes to happen, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, even if it's the Lord's communion. Doesn't bother them one iota. 11. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not riling accusations against them before the Lord. They certainly won't argue with Satan. And they don't make any, they leave judgment kind of to the Father. Be careful. 12. But these, as natural brute beasts, the fallen angels, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understood not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. That's when the 7,000 die in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, okay? And shall receive the reward. They're going to? You bet. They shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. That's what this reward is. There is a reward of righteousness and there is a reward of unrighteousness. As they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots they are and blemishes. That means they stick out like a sore thumb to one that has spiritual discernment in a group of God's children, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. In other words, they use their false doctrine as a covering or a cloak to bring deception into your group if you allow it, your family, your mind. Always check people out in God's Word. Document it. Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, that means twisting minds of people that are biblically illiterate, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Boy, you don't want to be in that group, and you're not. All right. They're a small crowd, but boy, do they cause harm. 15. Which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages, money, reward of unrighteousness. Do you know how God stopped him? You know, he was smart. He was a good preacher as far as keeping things covered up. He was offered a pretty good little chunk of money to come over and make a good prophecy to the enemies of God's children. And he went to the father and said, should I do it? But it would have been all right if he would have waited until God gave him the nudge. But man, he saddled his ass before day sun up the next morning, and he was on his way to collect that money. Meaning, in his heart, all he was interested in was preaching for money. Got it? That's all he had in his mind. 16. How did God stop him? But was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. In other words, God uses whoever he wants to. The ass was smart enough that when the angel of God got in the path, Balaam was so blind to money, he couldn't see the angel, but the ass could. And he wouldn't go. Didn't go. And I hope old Balaam fed him real good for a whole week, because he saved his hide, basically. Beware of preachers that preach for money. All right? Now, and I'm not going to start, you know, I never name names or anything else. And at the same time, let me say, a servant is worthy of his hire. All right? That's, you know, if some young person dedicates their life to it, it just so happens I chose a different path to never take a salary. But it's fine if a young, but if that's his reason for doing it, you understand what I'm saying? Like I heard a man one time say, well, I'm going to go to seminary. I want to collect some of that easy money myself. I thought, oh, God. You know, wrong reason. Wrong reason. Naturally, he never made it. All right? He went to the seminary. But God tore him up in so many different ways that he didn't have a prayer of a chance. So, there you have it. That particular segment covers the reward for unrighteousness. Hey, you don't want any part of that. Your reward for just smiling at someone that's depressed is far better than that, for that is the reward of righteousness. Service rendered. It's in the book. God scrutinizes you a lot closer than you might think. You might think, well, I'm really not important. Well, God thinks you are. That's why you're in His book. God thinks all of His children are important, and that's why they are in His book. And He wants all of His children to do well. That's written, if we were to have continued on in this Second Peter, into the third chapter, you know how well it is written there that God is long-suffering. In the eighth verse of chapter 3, God is long-suffering, or the seventh. And it is His will that all come to repentance. He'd love it if all of His children would just repent and say, Father, help me, save me. But just take the people you know. And I know you're bound to know one or two, that the day they would do that will be a little ways off, because you couldn't reason with them if you wanted to. It happens. But it's God's will that they do. But He's got them in the book. Why? Because He keeps track of both rewards, both the good and the bad. And that's the way they're judged. Okay. Real quickly, back to 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to try not to digress anymore so we get through here real soon, Mike. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle was dissolved, if you died and it went back to dust, we have a building of God. And house not made with hands, it's not made with human. Your mom and daddy couldn't make that one. Eternal in the heavens. Where is heavens? Wherever God is. And God's coming to earth. That's 2. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. And Paul meant that. You know, I suppose every Christian looks forward to that time when, praise God, you're with Him. You know, we're in eternity. 3. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Now, this is kind of like your rewards, too. You know, anyone that doesn't have righteous acts, that's what your linen that you wear in heaven is woven from. No righteous acts, no linen. Naked like a jaybird. 4. A baby jaybird, that is. 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality. This Greek word means liable to die. Might be swallowed up in life. That death could be swallowed up in life. You know, you'll have some people will come and say, but it's really what I care about is just being saved, just getting in. And it's very difficult for a pastor to tell some little lady, you know, well, yeah, God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe upon Him would not perish, but have eternal life, but you'd be naked. That's kind of hard to cover right real good, but as Christ used it over and over, it is effective, all right? Verse 5, now He that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Now, this says so much more than you read from the English. Earnest is a legal term, all right, in the Greek, and it means a guarantee. It is a legal term that means He guarantees you the Spirit. And you notice that that Spirit is not in the lower case. It's not talking about your Spirit. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. He guarantees you that you can have that now if you accept Him, even in this earthly body. 6. Therefore, we are always confident knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. You can be confident and comfortable because the Holy Spirit dwells with you. Take advantage of it. Don't ever let anyone rob you of that. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Be sure that you don't take God for granted. Hey, you know, it's a tough old life in this earth age, and everything is geared to try to pull your mind away from what it should be on. So don't let a day go by that you don't spend just a little moment with the Father. Maybe it's just 1 minute just to say, Father, I love You. Don't let, you know, sometimes when somebody's really in deep trouble, you say, how long has it been since you talked to the Father? Oh, it's 10 months. Yeah, I can tell. Can tell. Verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor. That's a word some people don't like. Why? I do not know. We labor that whether present or absent we may be accepted of Him. With what? Reward. Service rendered. Labor. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in His body. I want to repeat, in His body. That's these flesh bodies you're in right now, okay? According to that He hath done, whether it be good or bad. Okay? It's in the book. But never forget the greatest gift that Christ ever gave to you is His judgment seat. It's repent. And those bad things are erased just like that. Don't ever let anyone take that away from you. That's one thing I do hold against some religions. That they'll get some preacher that'll stump his toe and act disgracefully, but human maybe. Maybe a little lower human than some might think. And man, I mean, they brand him and boot him. He's gone, long gone. What happened to forgiveness and the power of Christ? For God's gifts are given without repentance. Did you hear what I said? God's gifts are given without repentance. Just because the man or woman is bad, the gift isn't. Think about it. I don't even know what brought that up, but in closing, one more verse, and that's all we're going to do. We're going to the book of Isaiah, and we're going to chapter 62. And we're going to take verse 11. Let's start with 10 and 11, and this concludes the lecture. Isaiah chapter 62. The reason why am I doing this? Because it's Old Testament. What I've been teaching you, I taught from the New Testament, but it's not new. Been there all the time. For God is not old and God is not new. God is God. He's your Father, Yahweh. He's forever and He never changes. That's why we're going to conclude here. Verse 10 of Isaiah 62. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones and lift up a standard for the people. Let that standard you lift up, beloved, be Christ. And when you can take some of the rocks out of life's path and kick them off in the bar ditch so that somebody else doesn't stumble and hurt their toe like you do when you mess up, do it. Make it easier for the next. And cast up, get up, and make a path. Verse 11, behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. That's right till now. Right when we're coming on through. Unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, God's children, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward. Service for service given. He's got it where? Is with him. And his work before him. He's got it. He's got your reward. And we've always got a choice in this thing, good or bad. All right, he's got it. For some, I'm sorry, it's not too good. But for others, it's what we're looking for. And even the first correction until the last day of the millennium, he still has patience. And you still have work to do. For God expects his children. Christ will stay in heaven until his enemy is made his footstool. Who do you think is going to make the enemy the footstool? God's children must prepare the way. That's what you're seed planting. That's why it is so important. Well, what can one little person do? There's not just one of us. There are thousands of us. And that's a lot of seed to be planted. Plant. Again, don't go overboard. Just as you live, God will send to you who he wants the seed planted with. And you or I, just because of somebody's looks, might pass them up. You know what I mean? God may choose some that you wouldn't. I mean, look at yourselves. And you look good to me, all right? Got a bunch of winners here. But God sends people to you. Let him do the choosing. It's like we were talking before broadcast. This is a ministry that you may be here one time. I guarantee you, you'll never get one of those little notes and say, where were you Wednesday night? Well, it ain't none of my business where you were Wednesday night. I don't care where you were Wednesday night. If you love the Lord, you were working for him. And that I believe what I teach. You're never going to get one of those letters because I truly believe that God leads each of his children. And all you have to do is stay in the traces and keep pulling where he sends you. Okay? Bloom where you're planted. We're going to stop right there. Father, we thank you, Father, for the rewards that are coming and the rewards that are now received and those that have in the past, Father, we thank you for them, Father. Touch, Father, this congregation and around the world. We ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers